Welcome to day 104 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and I'm glad to have you back with me today as we continue in the book of 1 Samuel. Today we will be reading 1 Samuel chapters 21 through the end of chapter 24. We're reading in the New American Standard Bible, beginning at 1 Samuel 21, verse 1. Then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has commissioned me with a matter and has said to me, 'Let no one know anything about the matter on which I am sending you and with which I have commissioned you.' And I have directed the young men to a certain place. Now, therefore, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever can be found." The priest answered David and said, "There is no ordinary bread on hand, but there is consecrated bread, if only the young men have kept themselves from women." David answered the priest and said, "Surely women have been kept from us as previously when I set out, and the vessels of the young men were holy, though it was an ordinary journey. How much more than today will their vessels be holy?" So the priest gave him consecrated bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, which was removed from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place when it was taken away. Now one of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's shepherds. David said to Ahimelech, "Now, is there not a spear or a sword on hand? For I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me because the king's matter was urgent." Then the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, behold, it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you would take it for yourself, take it, for there is no other except it here." And David said, "There's none like it. Give it to me." Then David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s?'" David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. So he disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let his saliva run down into his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman. Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this one to act the madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house?" Chapter 22. So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's household heard of it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother come and stay with you until I know what God will do for me." Then he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. The prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. Then Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered. Now Saul was sitting in Gibeah under the tamarisk tree on the height with his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing around him. Saul said to his servants who stood around him, "Hear now, O Benjamites, will the son of Jesse also give to all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? For all of you have conspired against me so that there is no one who discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you who is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in ambush as it is this day. Then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing by the servants of Saul, said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. He inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent someone to summon Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's household, the priests who were in Nob, and all of them came to the king. Saul said, Listen now, son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. Saul then said to him, Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, so that he would rise up against me by lying in ambush as it is this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, even the king's son-in-law, who is captain over your guard and is honored in your house? Did I just begin to inquire of God for him today? Far be it from me. Do not let the king impute anything to his servant or to any of the household of my father, for your servant knows nothing at all of this whole affair. But the king said, You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's household. And the king said to the guards who were attending him, Turn around and put the priests of the Lord to death, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew that he was fleeing and did not reveal it to me. But the servants of the king were not willing to put forth their hands to attack the priests of the Lord. Then the king said to Doeg, You turn around and attack the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned around and attacked the priests, and he killed that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. And he struck Nob, the city of the priests, with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and infants, also oxen, donkeys, and sheep he struck with the edge of the sword. But one son of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar, I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have brought about the death of every person in your father's household. Stay with me, do not be afraid, for he who seeks my life seeks your life, for you are safe with me. Chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floors. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah. But David's men said to him, Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord once more, and the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hands. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and he led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it came about when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David at Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand. When it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he shut himself in by entering a city with double gates and bars. So Saul summoned all the people for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him, so he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. Then David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the pursuit. David stayed in the wilderness, in the strongholds, and remained in the hill country, in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Thus he said to him, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul my father will not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. And Saul my father knows that also. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. Then Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding with us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now then, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to do so, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand. Saul said, may you be blessed of the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go now, make more sure, and investigate and see his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there, for I am told that he's very cunning. So look and learn about all the hiding places where he hides himself, and return to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And if he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah. Then they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, and he came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard it, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on the one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to seize them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land. So Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. Therefore they called that place the Rock of Escape. David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Chapter 24. Now when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. The men of David said to him, behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. Then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. It came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. So he said to his men, far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. David pursued his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul arose and left the cave and went on his way. Now afterward, David arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, saying, my lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the ground and prostrated himself. David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men, saying, behold, David seeks to harm you? Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord had given you today into my hand in the cave, and some said to kill you, but my eye had pity on you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Now, my father, see, indeed, see the edge of your robe in my hand. For in that I have cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you, know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands, and I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, out of the wicked comes forth wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? A single flea? The Lord, therefore, be judge and decide between you and me, and may he see and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. When David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, Is this your voice, my son David? Then Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me, while I have dealt wickedly with you. You have declared today that you have done good to me, that the Lord delivered me into your hand, and yet you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done to me this day. Now, behold, I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand. So now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's household. David swore to Saul, and Saul went to his home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we see King Saul's mental, spiritual, emotional instability continuing to be demonstrated. We have this very tragic story of how King Saul and his really insane pursuit of David, though David has not in any way wronged him, but because of his being inspired by this demonic spirit of jealousy and anger, King Saul continues to chase him down. David escapes and stops at a town called Nob, where the priests of the Lord are based, and we see that he gets bread from Ahimelech the priest, and he also picks up the sword of Goliath, which he had taken from Goliath when he won that battle, and the priest gives them to him because David pretended that he was on a mission for King Saul and did not reveal that he was actually running from Saul. So Ahimelech the priest was completely innocent in any way, any type of complicity with David to hide something from Saul. He simply did for David, who he saw as Saul's servant and son-in-law, a good deed, and he went on. But when King Saul heard about it, he called Ahimelech the priest and his entire household to come up to see him. And then he questions them, interrogates them, and accuses Ahimelech of being in cahoots with David, and in actuality accuses him of conspiring with David to overthrow his throne, which was, of course, a ridiculous accusation that was simply inspired by the demon that was tormenting Saul. And his demonic anger and this spirit of insanity and murder that was tormenting him from day to day rose up and pushed him to murder all of the priests of God, which was a black day in the history of Israel, and done by the king of Israel, and a sad day for sure. Only one of the priests escaped, and his name was Abiathar. He was the son of Ahimelech, And he told David everything that Saul had done in killing the priests of the Lord. So David swears to protect him if he will just stay with him. That story really shows us the big danger of allowing anger, jealousy, and any kind of sinful spirit or reaction or rebellion to have any place in our hearts, because it can only lead to more and more sin and a downward spiral spiritually for any person. And so it was with King Saul. In contrast, we see something quite stunning in the character of David. And this shows us that David really had a heart after God. And the particular situation arose that when Saul was pursuing David, David and his men were hiding in the deep recesses of a certain cave in an area where Saul knew that he was hiding but didn't know the exact location. So Saul and his men are looking for him in these mountains, and Saul takes a break to go into the cave to relieve himself. And when he does that, David and his men, who are in the very deep recesses of the cave, realize the king is in the cave in a very compromising position. David's men encourage him and tell him, "The Lord has delivered him into your hands. Go for it." In other words, kill him. This is God's doing. He's hunting you down. David refuses to do so by saying, "Far be it from me, because of the Lord, that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed." And so by those words, he persuaded his men not to rise up against Saul themselves, but David only went and cut off the edge of his robe just to prove that he had no evil intention against him. So after Saul left the cave and got a distance away, David made himself known and called out to him and showed him the piece of cloth that he had cut off of his robe and told him, "Why do you believe the words of people who say David seeks to harm you? Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord had given you today into my hand in the cave, and some said to kill you, but my eye had pity on you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." And then he shows him the edge of the robe that he had in his hand to show that he could have killed him, but did not do so. This token of mercy and demonstration of David's righteousness or his right heart before the Lord actually had an interesting impact on King Saul. When he realized what had happened, it says Saul lift up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me while I have dealt wickedly with you. You have declared today that you have done good to me, that the Lord delivered me into your hand, and yet you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done to me this day." Now, these are fascinating words, because we're talking about a man who goes in and out of literally moments of insane, violent, murderous rages, where he almost killed his own son by hurling a spear at the son that he actually loved and was trying to protect, because he thought David was going to take the throne away from Jonathan. And so he even almost killed his own son. So he has these moments of insanity because of the torment of this demonic spirit. And yet here we see a moment of lucidity, and he has remorse for what he has been doing to David. And he makes David swear, "Okay, swear to me that you won't cut off my descendants after me and you won't destroy my name." And so he swore to him, and so Saul went home. He didn't pursue him at that moment. He could have had his whole army rise up and rush him, because David still only had maybe 600 men with him, but Saul had thousands. But this demonstration of David's righteous behavior and righteous attitude before the Lord really touched Saul for the moment. And for a moment, he had this lucid experience and understanding that David really didn't mean him harm. Now, one might have thought that this would be the end of King Saul chasing him and that David could relax or go home. But David knew well enough because he had seen Saul go in and out of insanity and lucidity before. He didn't trust that Saul would keep his promise. And it was wise because in the chapters we'll read tomorrow, we'll see another incident where again Saul's pursuing David and trying to kill him. So I want to bring to your attention the difference here between Saul and David. Saul had no reason other than the demonic spirit speaking lies to him to suspect David or to accuse David of trying to overthrow his throne. That was complete insanity. It wasn't true. There was no such thing in David's heart. David was a man after God's own heart, willing to wait on God's timing. He knew God was going to make him king of Israel, but he also knew that there was an anointed man in that position at this time. And when God anoints someone, as he did with Saul through the hand of the prophet Samuel, it would be God's timing to remove him. It's not up to any person. And David understood this very profoundly. In fact, his statement, "Far be it from me that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, because he is the Lord's anointed." So David had an understanding of spiritual order, that God places a person in a leadership position, anoints them for the job, and it doesn't mean that they will do that job perfectly or even well. The anointing is available to them, such as it was to Saul. He could have done well had he chosen to obey, stay close to the heart of God, be careful to take the counsel of Samuel the prophet, but he was selfish and he was vain and he didn't have a lot of self-control, and he would give in to these fleshly temptations, and as a result he did not ever walk in the fullness of the anointing that God had given to him. In fact, he walked away from it. David, on the other hand, received the anointing of God. And he also could have taken matters into his own hands. He could have slain Saul right there in the cave. And there would have been a whole lot of people that would have been happy to see David come into the kingdom, become the king of Israel. At that time, they knew he was the mighty warrior who had taken down Goliath. And he was the one who had led the Israelite army into battle and into many victories against the Philistines. So he wouldn't have lacked supporters. But he was a man of God who was willing to wait for God's timing. And he also feared to disobey the Lord in this one specific thing, that he should lift up his hand or stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed. Let me say this to you. We live in a day when there are a lot of anointed men and women of God who are preaching the gospel today. There are many on the radio, on television, in churches, around the globe. No, and there is not a single one of them that is perfect. Not one. There's not a single leader that is perfect in churches or anywhere else. Not even the leaders of nations. There's not a perfect leader other than Jesus Christ himself. But God has a spiritual law that you don't touch the anointed of God, meaning you don't come against them, you don't speak evil of them, you don't try to usurp their position, you don't try to take them down. You allow God, who put them in that position, to deal with that person. You know, I believe God was giving Saul opportunities to repent. Even this situation where David could have taken his life but did not, was an opportunity from the Lord for Saul to totally repent and ask God to forgive him and be restored and have the Lord help him finish out his time on the earth as king of Israel in a godly way. He didn't repent. We know that. We see a moment of remorse, which is different than repentance. And it didn't change his heart, because we'll see in the next chapters, he's back to his old tricks. He's still having the demonic, maniacal, murderous pursuit of David occurring in his life. But he had an opportunity here where he could have turned his heart back to the Lord, but he didn't. But David, still knowing he was evil, knowing that he was wrongly accused by Saul, knowing that he was in line from God's own word to become the next king of Israel, he could have taken things into his own hands, spoken evil of him, conspired against him, gotten other people to agree with him, and gone after Saul and taken him down because he's attempting to murder him. Or he could have simply responded in self-defense and killed him and felt perfectly legitimate in doing so. But David knew this spiritual principle that I believe very few people know today, that it is not the place of any person to stretch out their hand, their mouth, their words, their against somebody that God has anointed and put into a position of leadership. That is not for us to do. And yet we hear on TV, on the radio, we hear it in churches where people have no problem speaking evil of their pastor, evil of a leader, evil of a television evangelist or minister. And they'll tell terrible things about them, speak evil of them, criticize them, accuse them without the least twinge of conscience, because they have no revelation that this is a spiritual principle. That God does allow people to continue giving them opportunity to repent. And if they don't, then God himself removes them. In the case of Saul, he died and David did come into the throne. But it was not going to be by the hand of David, because David was not willing to violate God's principle to get what he wanted. And I want to encourage you to be very careful about how you speak of leaders, how you discuss their behavior, their decisions. It doesn't mean that they're right, what they're doing is right. And God knows that. It is our place as believers today to pray for leaders. That's what the Word of God tells us. Pray for those in authority over you, whether it's in spiritual authority in your church, denomination, or whatever, or whether it's the leader of your nation. Even God has said in His Word that He places one in position and He puts down one and puts up another. And it's our job to pray for them, not to accuse them or criticize them, but to pray for them. And this is important, because the Word of God that says, whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap, is very true. And if you're a person that ever conspires against a leader to remove them, to put yourself in that position, you can be guaranteed that when you're in leadership, that exact thing will happen to you. Others will conspire against your leadership, talk badly about you, plot to overthrow you. God has spiritual laws that are very important that we operate by. David honored Saul through his entire life, even though he was being hunted by him and with the intent to have him murdered. Do you know that he never spoke evil of Saul? And you'll see as we get to the end of his story that even when Saul died, David mourned him and wrote a song praising his good qualities. He didn't bring out his bad qualities. He simply praised his good qualities. And he never spoke evil of Saul, even though he was being hunted by this man who wanted him dead. So this is, to me, a stunning example of godly character under pressure. And this is something we need to do. If you're in a church and you don't like what's happening with the leadership, you need to pray. First of all, you need to pray for the leaders. God knows what's going on. I guarantee you, you don't know everything that's going on. So what you see may not be all the things that are happening. You don't know the pressure your leaders are under. You don't know the whole story. So don't judge what you don't know. If you don't feel like God wants you to stay in that church, then leave graciously. Don't leave accusing the person as you go out the back door, or speak evil of the pastor and try to get other people to leave with you. That's wickedness. David never did anything like that, and he was being chased by this man who wanted him dead, and yet he never spoke a word of evil against Saul. So I want to encourage you, be very careful. Touch not God's anointed, not with your mouth, not with your thought life. Just be a person of prayer for all leaders. And then God can bless you, and you won't be guilty of what God finds to be a very serious matter. And if anyone ever asks you, what do you think of so-and-so? Simply say, you know what? That person is God's anointed, and my job's to pray for that person. And don't speak evil of them, even if you're provoked by someone else. Say, it's our job to pray for the pastor. It's our job to pray for the deacons, the elders, whatever your spiritual leadership structure is in the church that you attend. Let's be people of God who honor God's spiritual principles. That will bring you a blessing, but violating them will only bring a big problem into your life. David said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. When you speak evil of an anointed Christian leader, it's as if you are saying that God wasn't wise in his choice, or God wasn't wise in anointing that person. And I'm sure that you don't want to be guilty of accusing God of not doing a good job at choosing leaders. That is not our business. Let God be God, and let's be obedient to the Lord in this spiritual principle. And that way God can bless your life as well. And you can teach your children this same principle. And if you have been guilty of speaking evil of, talking badly of, discussing the weaknesses of a leader that you have, maybe your pastor or someone in your church, you need to repent for that. And if you've done it at the dinner table in front of your children, you need to repent of that as well and tell your children, I see now in the Word of God that that is wrong and I should never have done that. And my job is to pray for that leader. So I ask you to forgive me for saying those things in front of you. I ask God to forgive me for saying those things, and I'm going to be committed to praying for them. And that will be a way to turn things around and begin to sow good seed for your own life and leadership. God bless you. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow for day 105 of my Everyday Bible.